All right, you're back in the DFSR. It's an NFL podcast. It's Thursday. It's October 1st. I'm Doug Norrie, and over there is...
James Davis.
Buddy, it only took me four tries to remember how we start the podcast, so good news on that one.
Well, you're really a man of many podcasts, Doug. You dabble here, you dabble there.
Yeah, I'm editing a podcast last night, doing my Nets podcast. I'm just like a podcasting... Just turned into a little mini podcasting. Well, empire means you make tons of money off it, so I can't use the word empire. Hobby, whatever it is.
Yeah, so it's Ray. What's obsession? Like a hoarder? Like you're a hoarder of podcasts?
Nah, that's like too negative. It's just kind of like... hoarding would be like my desktop is just full of just podcasts that I'm just... that I'm working on. All right, we're going to talk game-by-game breakdown of the NFL main slate. Already have one game off the slate due to COVID. I don't know if the Titans and Steelers are going to come back and play Monday. I'm not sure if the NFL really knows.
Thanks a lot, COVID.
They're kind of making that. I'm not laughing at COVID. I'm not either.
I'm saying thanks a lot, COVID.
Man, okay, appreciate it. Caught me off guard by mentioning it as like a personification of it. But okay, I do want to get your quick. Give me 30 seconds on the NBA finals here, and because we stopped doing the NBA podcast, but I don't know. You and I talk tons of hoops. We watch tons of hoops. We're pretty much, I would say, not at the highest level of like X's and O's of hoops at this point, but in terms of like, you know, player pool and stuff like that, I feel like we're in the top 1% of it. I mean, we've been LeBron apologists. We've been LeBron stans forever, I think, you know, going back a decade and just talking about like just being flummoxed why people don't seem to appreciate what's going on here. Is this after the game last night, the series isn't over. It's probably over, but okay, whatever. I said Lakers in five. I'm wondering if that's going to be a game too many. But do you feel like, I'm starting to feel just bummed that people are still just dying on the LeBron's not great hill or something like that. Does that make sense? Like, I don't.
Yeah, well,
I'm past the arguing
thing they
point.
Do is where they're basically going, I mean, LeBron is, it's like Giannis and LeBron had a kid. LeBron is obviously one of the greatest of all time, but like at some point you got to hold it against him that he went to 10 finals and only won three of them. It's like, do you have to hold that against him though?
Because you don't have to. You can just enjoy it. Like you don't have to.
I'm just going to do it. I said I wasn't going to do this on the podcast, but here I go anyway. I felt sick to my stomach listening to Bill Simmons. Sorry, Bill, because I know you listen to this podcast preparing for your DFS lineups every weekend. I felt sick to my stomach having him go through LeBron's finals and be like people want to pretend like LeBron doesn't have great teammates and he's like doing the thing. And that's totally appropriate when it comes to like the Heat. LeBron, like, yeah, maybe they should have won 3 out of 4 instead of 2 out of 4 or whatever.
Right.
But when you give me, he had Kyrie Irving and Kevin Love on his team, and so therefore he should have won more finals against the Warriors than they wound up winning. Like that to me is just the dumbest take. And that, I guess I just have to say it. Like, go ask everyone how Kevin Love is holding up in Cleveland right now, right? Like, it doesn't matter how much he's paid because he was doing that, two other max guys. Doesn't matter how much your team pays a guy when it comes to that guy's ability to influence win games. Go ask the Celtics last year how things worked out with Kyrie, right? They're better this year without him. So I just don't need to hear. I don't need to hear any of it. You got me fired up. You did it on purpose. You even said earlier when we were talking about it, you were like, let's just, maybe we talk about this on the podcast. But now I'm fired up.
I said hold all your thoughts because
so there you go. They're my thoughts.
I just get sad that you're getting the chance, and maybe it's left over from me knowing I did this with Jordan.
Yeah, where me
I
was too. Totally.
Where agree. I was like, oh man, maybe the Jazz can just pull this out 1 year because it's just a bummer to just see this guy win every year. It's like, I really wish I had just kind of watched this from a different, maybe I'm channeling that energy because I know I had that very distinct feeling, you know, in the mid 90s about the Jordan thing or mid to late 90s. And maybe I'm just realizing now that like that was the wrong way to look at it. And hey, look, I got older and balder and maybe a little smarter about how I should view these kind of things. But yeah, in general, I know this is a football podcast. We're going to go to the game by game, but that's my, I think I just feel a little bit bummed.
No, I feel excited. LeBron's going to get another title, three different teams, et cetera, et cetera. They'll be the favorites going into next year too. So
It'll probably be better too, because they'll be able
to go Brown.
They'll actually spend free agency doing something. Okay, NFL podcast. We're gonna roll game by game on the main slate. Like I said, we are down a game already in terms of the Steelers and Titans, at least off the main slate. So I don't, like, who knows if it comes back. I'm not really sure, but at least for Sunday in the main one, we're gonna move off of that. If you want our cash game picks minus Derrick Henry, who we talked about yesterday, go back and listen to the cash game podcast, and that'll give you some insight. If you're really, look, the Broncos and Jets play tonight. This is one of those real testaments to how much you just love the NFL. If you're just gonna be able to watch the Broncos, if you're not a fan of Denver or New York, this is one of those, like, NFL just testing, throwing out anybody on Thursday night and just seeing people watch, they still will. But that's maybe one of the worst all-time games that's going to happen here on Thursday. First game on the main slate, Colts go and play the Bears. Obviously, the big news here is that Nick Foles is going to take over at quarterback. They were able to get Trubisky out of there probably 3 weeks later than they wanted to, but, you know, in a way that made kind of sense from just like the way the tide was turning already. And they started off the year 2-0, which I don't think anyone thought was going to happen, but then fall down to the Falcons, and they bring in Nick Foles, and now he's going to be the starting quarterback. Thoughts in this game? We ran out Jonathan Taylor in cash last week, and they just went right back to, like, sort of splitting carries in this team, and I in a way that maybe is making me feel really, really uncomfortable. Is there anything to trust about the Colts? Only injury news here, Michael Pittman is injured, and he's going to be out. But, like, Nyheim Hines played 20 snaps, and Jonathan Taylor's, like, not the bell cow we thought he was. I mean,
and the price has gone up. So you're just not going to play Jonathan Taylor this week. You know, he was a relatively high-end play at 6,700 on FanDuel last week. Now he's 7,500, and you have Hines getting back into the mix. I will say Hines did hurt his shoulder in that game against the Jets, and he's currently listed as questionable. He's been a limited participant in practice, though, so I think that you'll see him likely suit up, and that just makes it a timeshare, and that subsequently makes it a total stay away for me. I don't think you want to be in the business of playing running backs that are going to have 60% of their team snaps for 7,500, right? So, yeah, I think you can very healthily stay away from the Colts. The Bears, I think, are kind of interesting, though. So say what you want about Foles, but he has to be an upgrade over Trubisky. We saw two players in the Bears passing game last week really kind of explode. Talked about Jimmy Graham. We talked about him on the Cash Game podcast. He'll likely be the chalk option at tight end this week. But I want to get your thoughts on Allen Robinson. So Robinson goes out last week, 13 targets, 10 catches for 123 and a touch. He's shown pass-catching pedigree in the past. And he's underpriced relative to where he would be. He was already getting the targets. It's just, unfortunately, Mitch Trubisky was throwing them to him. Yeah. Now you have Super Bowl champion Nick Foles throwing his way. What do you think?
Yeah, so analytics and X's and O's guys have long dreamed on Allen Robinson having anyone but Mitch Trubisky throw him the football, because most people agree that he's just, not most, a lot of people, I've seen this enough from a lot of different sources at this point, lots of smart NFL heads think that Allen Robinson is among the best wide receivers in football, but he just has unfortunately spent a lifetime with having Mitch Trubisky huck him the ball all over the field. And so the part where he comes in and just instantly goes 10 for 13 on targets for 123 and a touchdown, the upside is possibly just absolutely tremendous on Robinson, to the point where I didn't write him up for cash games because I probably need to take another week at the price, but it's really close for me. Like, I more than other situations, I kind of wanted to take him to like 10 targets right away. And by the way, when I say 10 targets, I mean, this is like the Julio Jones.
Yeah.
Less than DeAndre Hopkins. But like, this is when we give someone double digit targets, it's like elite target share in our system. Like,
yeah, I think people don't appreciate that often enough. Like, you know, they figure that there are just like a lot of guys who get 10 targets a game. That doesn't sound like too much because they might look at like a weekly leaderboard to determine that. Last year, one player averaged more than 10 targets a game on the season, Michael Thomas. Right. No one else crossed 160 targets on the season.
Yeah, so I don't know. I'm very, very bullish on this situation. I think that this is huge WR1 upside for Robinson, and it really just the difference of having a real arm back there. So yes, very love Allen Robinson this week. I guess I should mention the other injury news for the Bears here is that Tarik Cohen was lost for the season. I don't know if that actually instantly turns David Montgomery into more carries. I think they're just going to give Cordarrelle Patterson more of those third downs, sort of like he was already getting a bunch of like random rushes and some targets. I think they make him into like the more the Tarik Cohen like clone, and then just keep Montgomery at the same usage. I meant to mention this at the beginning about the injury part, but it just kind of slipped my mind when we were talking about it. But the Cohen thing is interesting in the fact that they lost him, but I don't think that just makes, they're not going to, I don't think that turns David Montgomery into like the bell cow running back. I think they basically signaled that they don't want to be that to be the case. And they've turned Patterson basically into the running back. Mm-hmm. Let's keep moving. Chargers go in and play Tampa. This game starts off at a 45 over under, moved all the way down to 43.5, mostly coming off the Charger side. The Bucks are 7.5-point home favorites. They're going to be without Chris Godwin this week. They'll probably be without him for a couple weeks now. Do we want to move Mike Evans into the cash game focus here? Look, this is a guy that had like 2 catches, 2 yards, 2 touchdowns last week. So I get that that's like a weird line, and he's definitely done disappearing acts before, sort of quarterback independent. But when Godwin missed the game last time, he got double-digit targets. Is Evans in the cash game consideration here?
Feels awfully risky. Understanding that he's getting these red zone looks, which is actually something perhaps I didn't expect. Like, I don't know how many 1-yard touchdowns he caught prior to Tom Brady's arrival, but you know, the Evans of old, we were getting value on him by catching balls downfield. So if he's going to be used in short yardage situations, that's quite encouraging for his prospects overall. Brady still hasn't looked that sharp in throwing the ball at great distances downfield, and I still think that hurts Evans a little bit. I think he's also a little bit expensive based on all the touchdowns so far. So, you know, he's got 4 touchdowns in 3 games on just 18 targets. Like, that's not obviously sustainable by any stretch. Also, just again, hilariously, he's got a 2-yard touchdown catch and 2 1-yard touchdown catches too. So, it's a guy you could consider, but I think, like, if we're just comparing him to Allen Robinson, let's say, Allen Robinson, by the way, 3rd in the NFL in targets last year, which I haven't quite wrapped my mind around. I'll just take the more known situation to me, if that makes sense. So,
I'm with you because by the way, just go look across the field here or across the sidelines at least. And just look at least on FanDuel and look at Keenan Allen at sub 7,000 and the 19 targets he got last week.
And the 10 the week before that, you know, with the same exact situation, right, with Herbert. So, yeah, I don't think it's going to wind up being especially close for us. And I think that people will chase it because they're going to look at the fantasy points per game and extrapolate it up. And that's not always appropriate.
Anything else? I mean, I'm not really all that interested from a fantasy perspective on much else here on Tampa. Maybe you want to, you know, Scotty Miller gets a few more targets. You maybe think Gronk, you know, he got 7 targets last week. Maybe those targets tick up a little bit. I'm with you on the still not being totally sold on Brady as an elite, you know, getter of the ball to others. That's and by the way, if anything, he's shown the ability, unlike maybe Jameis, who was force feeding targets to guys when there's guys out. Brady does not roll that way. Brady's like, you know, now LeSean McCoy's going to get 3-4 targets here, and O.J. Howard's going to get 4, and Ronald Jones, you know what I mean? Like, there's definitely a spread it out mentality on there that I don't think you can just jam 12 targets for Michael Evans and feel safe about it. What about on the Charger side?
Yeah, I mean, we discussed Keenan Allen yesterday as a cash game play. I like him in all formats, frankly. I think he'll probably be under-owned for big tournaments too, just because if you've been playing fantasy for a while, you might have some Keenan Allen fatigue. Hunter Henry is in our weekly discussions around tight end just because he's one of the few guys in the league that actually gets consistent target share, and that's maintained with Herbert moving into the starting lineup too. So you could consider that. I think Austin Eckler, you know, that's kind of a funny situation where the price has gone down a lot over him over the course of 3 weeks. Actually, I'm very curious to hear your thoughts on him. So he started the season as around like an $8,000 running back, top 5 pick in season-long leagues. He comes out early in the season, and all of a sudden he's not catching the ball. And Phillip Rivers is over in Indianapolis throwing like 30 passes to running backs in the first game. And people are like, oh, was this a Rivers thing or is this a scheme thing? Well, last game he comes out, Eckler does, and Eckler gets 11 targets, turns out into 11 catches for 84 yards. What are your thoughts on Eckler as a potential like DraftKings play? That's where my mind goes immediately when I see, first of all, just he's super efficient on a per touch basis, but getting those receptions really means something, right?
Yeah. So the snaps are kind of where I thought they were going to be, in that he's just not an every down back. He did get the double digit targets like in a Kamara light sort of mode last week, but I'm still just distrustful on a game to game basis. You can't play him in cash, I guess, is one point. It's like, he's definitely got major big tournament upside, because if the list of running backs who can get 10 targets a game is basically like two guys, and that's Kamara and probably him, that you would like, and I wouldn't even feel comfortable ever projecting it, but I'm just saying it could happen. And so anytime that's on the table, I'm interested in it. And they just have shown, again, their hand, that they're just like, you're not going to play every down, because that's not how we want to treat our running backs, which is how most teams roll. So big tournament upside for sure. Like that Herbert has targeted him, and not going to go there in cash, because I don't feel trustful of the situation. So that's my, and but by the way, the good news on him is, if you think that like the line here is accurate in that the Bucks are going to be winning, then his upside is actually even better, because he will be the guy that's on the field more to play in catch up ball, unlike, you know, if they're trying to run downhill with like it's splitting time with him and Josh Kelly. So there's, in a weird way, this is not usually a game script that favors running backs, but Eckler is a guy that it kind of does favor if you think they're playing catch up. Cause usually we want to target running backs going the other way, which we're not going to do.
Yeah. And if you're just chasing that big upside, I think you're exactly right. But yeah, I think otherwise, you know, this game, yeah, I think a lot of my interest is consolidated into that, like Keenan Allen, maybe Mike Evans group. And otherwise it's kind of a stay away.
All right, let's take a quick break and we'll come back with the rest of these games.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called PIE, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to. Podcasts on?
Yeah, podcast, homecasts.
Your podcasting apparatus? Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
Have you ever experienced turbulence on a flight and wondered why?
And you can see all the terrain around you. You've got no issue with visibility or anything?
No, everything's peachy.
Maybe you've sat on the tarmac for hours wondering why your plane isn't moving.
Well, we're outside here. They're saying the ramp is closed. They won't let us park because of Air Force One.
Listen in on the conversations between pilots and air traffic controllers on the Air Traffic Out of Control podcast.
510 is declaring an emergency. There's smoke in the cabin. I need to make a landing right now on 31 left.
We have the most interesting, wild, and funny ATC recordings you will ever hear. Check out Air Traffic Out of Control wherever you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Browns go in and play Dallas. Dallas is 4.5-point favorites. We talked about Derrick Henry as a cash game play yesterday, but then obviously they're not going to play anymore. And when we removed him from the Tennessee guys from the player pool, Zeke Elliott started showing up a little bit more in cash games here for us. Not so much on DraftKings, but definitely a little bit more on FanDuel. Is that a situation where we feel comfortable playing cash? Because I felt pretty good about playing Henry just on the, you know, gajillion touches he was seeing every week, just by hook or by crook. But is Zeke in that territory for you for cash? He's very expensive. I don't know, 4.5-point favorites is kind of where we want to be. You don't get a tremendous pace up tick from the Browns just because they run the ball so much, but would we be comfortable running Zeke out here in cash?
Yeah, I think so. You know, you're looking to fill another expensive running back slot with the good mid-range value that we see in other positions this week, you know, really good mid-range wide receivers. I think we're going to wind up with a cheap tight end as well, so you do have the money to spend. It's kind of funny with Zeke, you know, we're back in that discussion that you kind of initiated with Henry, which is like, At what point do the carries and the workload become so much that the player becomes less effective? So, you know, Zeke last week in a game where Dallas just couldn't stop scoring, 14 carries for 34 yards and a touchdown. That's a little bit concerning. He did get 11 targets out of the backfield, caught six balls, turned it into 24 yards. So ultimately, he kind of gets close on the price. Not quite really, though. So I think I'm a little gun-shy. You're also paying $500 more for him than we were considering paying for Henry. It's doable for me, and I wouldn't be excited about it, which is kind of how I felt about Henry, too.
Yeah, that's exactly how I feel. It's that it would be... It probably doesn't murder you, and it is just so expensive at this point. So, look again, the list of wide receivers, the list of running backs who play every down for their team is really pretty short. It's like four dudes or something like that. Zeke is one of them. That's why he's up there in price. And, yeah, I get a little worried about it. He was one of those ones where I take it back because now I'm like calculating on FanDuel. I mean, it was always Kamara in this expensive spot on DraftKings. It's kind of Kamara on FanDuel now too. So I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. What about the rest of these guys? We talked a little bit. We talked about Amari Cooper at length yesterday, so I don't think we need to go back down that road. Do you feel like the rest of these Dallas guys is just kind of dartboard material when it comes to who's going to get the targets on a given week? I feel especially like that when a guy like Cedric Wilson's the big winner in a week for the Cowboys. But
exactly. Yeah, Wilson and Gallup last week.
Are we just throwing a dart at the pass game? Yeah.
Yeah, I think so.
Is that where we are now?
I think we like Amari Cooper still. I think he's going to be the guy that shows up week in, week out. You know, CeeDee Lamb's actually pretty interesting with 22 total targets through three games. Hasn't gotten in the end zone yet, and I think that's kept the price down. But obviously the talent is super elite, and people are going to keep dreaming on it. But yeah, none of these guys are cash game considerations, I don't think.
Yeah, the only thing I'm maybe a little worried about CeeDee Lamb is he did see the snaps drop a little last week in favor of Wilson. Not to a crazy degree, but I don't think that's not something I'm going to set my clock to, because I just think that the plan is to play him a lot. But yeah, no, I think there's all these guys, big tournament upside. What about the Browns? They've had a kind of a weird schedule to start the season. By the way, I should have mentioned at the beginning, I read a betting article. I took Dallas -4.5 here. I think that people think the Browns are better than they are. They had one tough game to start the year against Baltimore and then played two bottom feeders, and that's why they're kind of 2-1. Like, I just don't, our system really, really likes Dallas here with the points, or given the points. But anything to see here on the Browns side, they've run the ball a ton. The wide receiver targets really haven't worked out up until this point. Anything to see here for Cleveland?
Yeah, I don't think you can touch the wide receivers. I still think Odell Beckham Jr. is an interesting high upside play for big tournaments, because theoretically the talent is still there for him to be among the highest scoring wide receivers on the slate, and he's only 6,600. So you're never going to touch it for cash, but it's conceivable. Chubb is kind of interesting as well. It just kind of depends on how you perceive this game script to go, because in the last two games, he's been one of the best running backs overall on a points per dollar basis. I kind of think that's fool's gold, just because the game script super favored his involvement. He's not catching balls out of the backfield. His scoring is very touchdown dependent too. I mean, it helps that he gets the goal line touches, but yeah, I don't know what you think about Chubb, but I certainly could imagine playing him in cash games here, but I don't even know that I'm that interested for big tournaments.
Yeah, and they just need to be winning for him to really meet his expectation, because he's just not playing those third down snaps in favor of Hunt, and Hunt just gets a ton of carries anyway. Yeah. It's just too much of a timeshare going. Like, he basically, just this point for him at his price point, needs to break a long run, and you just can't count on that in any fashion. And he can do it. He's shown he can do it as good as any other running back in the league. But when it's a full on timeshare, then those situations to me are just kind of, look, everyone can dream on the big game. That's fine. I just don't particularly run that way. I need to lock in some floor, right? Like, before I do it. And I just don't think that Nick Chubb is the way to do that. All right. Ravens going to play the Redskins. Oh, I did it. Shoot. It's not the Redskins anymore. I'm not going to take it out. It made a mistake. Cool. I know. God, I feel I need to be shamed. Everyone could walk me through the streets yelling shame at me. The Washington Football Club, or team, or whatever the hell they're called, are 13-point underdogs to the Ravens. Ravens coming in after a really disappointing performance against the Chiefs last week, where I don't want to say they were exposed, but I know that the Lamar Jackson haters will kind of always run this way, that they just, you know, oh, this is who they are. They can't win the big games. They're not going to win the playoffs. It's not, this brand of football doesn't work. Okay, whatever. They're 13-point favorites here. Lamar is not a guy that we talked about for cash, although he's a guy that we often talk about it because the floor on him is so incredibly high. Anything to see here for the Ravens? I mean, Lamar bounced back. They really want to put a stamp and get the win here. Can we consider playing any of these guys? It's really just Lamar. I don't want to talk about...
Yeah, Lamar's a tournament option. I mean, he's not a cash game play right now. One thing that's been really instructive to go into this season... And I think you are one of the very few people I heard call this out going into the year, was that Lamar was just due for regression. Yeah. I think many people, when they see young players, they're like, well, he's just going to keep getting better. It's like, except not always, right? It depends what they are good at. Like, he might get better in a lot of the, you know, aspects of football that he needs to do to win the Super Bowl someday and do all that stuff. But when it comes to just outscoring all the other DFS quarterbacks by like a touchdown per game or something, that was pretty unlikely to continue. So now what you have is he's more probably closer to the reality, which is like one of the best in the NFL, but not head and shoulders better than every single other guy. Unfortunately, you have to pay a price that's head and shoulders above every other single guy. And so I'm not persuaded that he's a better DFS quarterback than, say, Kyler Murray, right? So that's just going to take Lamar out of consideration when he's priced at these absurd levels, 9,600. I mean, that's just too much given... The given how deep really good DFS quarterbacks are right now. So you're not going to touch it, but he's the ultimate big tournament quarterback, right? He can score 40 fantasy points. He can get 3 rushing touchdowns. He can do things that other quarterbacks simply can't do. But he can also be not that good. So I can't imagine playing him in cash.
The regression that was coming was the touchdown passes. Like, he just had simply too many touchdown passes for the amount of attempts he had. Like, that, it was just... And it was born out of what happened a lot early in the season, which was, you know, one pass, one touchdown, like on drives that he did. They did the start of the season because people weren't really prepared for how that they were going to be coming at them schematically. And, you know, these long touchdown passes to Marquise Brown and, you know, Mark Andrews, and just this stuff that was just like totally bananas and just not really, it wasn't going to sustain. I feel in some ways the same way about Russell Wilson, though not to the same degree, because he's just a much better passer, so it's just more likely that he can sort of sustain some of the touchdowns. But yeah, that was the. It's not that he's not great. It was just like he just can't be historically great like this based on the attempts, because at some point the long touchdowns just dry up. They just do. I don't know. We have, I don't know, a million games to look at to say that you can't, short of having Randy Moss on your team, you just can't keep throwing long, deep touchdowns to players over and over and over again. It just doesn't really happen. On Washington, I think you can start the Ravens defense. I'm not sure what. I just don't know.
I don't know what we're doing
here with Dwayne Haskins and company. And I'm not sure how long he's going to be the quarterback for the team. And we will see. Oh, I almost said Steelers and Titans because that was the next game and it wasn't taken out of the scheduling data. Cardinals go and play the Panthers. Not going to go back down this road because we talked about it at length yesterday about Kyler Murray. Definitely a cash game play. I think Mike Davis on the other side is definitely a cash game play just because of how they're using him in the offense. So if you want our thoughts, go back and listen to those two guys. Kenny and Drake, people wanted to play. He continues to stink. I just don't really think I want to do. We didn't go there last week. And if we didn't go there last week, we're not going back and doing it this week. Is that like a fair way to sum up the Kenny and Drake thing?
Yeah.
That and then... DeAndre Hopkins, though, still just getting a ton of targets. Doesn't seem like this is going to dry up anytime soon. We did not talk about him for cash games, mostly because we were sort of prioritizing some quarterbacks and running backs. But is that a mistake? Because another 12 targets last week for 110 for 137. He's just like Michael Thomas light when it comes
to... He's the best receiver in DFS. I don't think there's any question about that right now. I think it's a little bit... weird for cash just with how the money shakes out. Like, we really don't have those super cheap running backs or even like really good mid-range running backs that we want to target,
right?
And that just, and given that I think we're in agreement that it's a year where you have to pay up at quarterback, you start running out of money eventually. I do think Hopkins is great. Worth noting that he did miss practice on Wednesday. Some people believe it could be a maintenance day. He's currently listed as questionable with a sprained ankle. So you never know. I suspect that he'll just be out there. But, you know, you always got to keep an eye on it when you're going to invest $8,700 in a player. Going the other way. Oh, actually, one other guy I think it's worth targeting, actually, or worth discussing super briefly for big tournaments, is Andy Isabella. He caught 2 touchdown passes last week. We forecasted him for an increase in opportunity when Christian Kirk went down. And, you know, as he gets more comfortable in the offense, you can't pencil him in for just 2 touchdowns. Like, that's obviously not realistic, but, you know, he's 5,000, so you could do worse.
Yeah, and just and a note, too, about target. I mean, 4 targets total, converted all 4 for 47. Keshawn Johnson actually had more targets, 2 for 7. He only converted 2 of them. So I find him to be a little bit interesting, too, if, like, he's, like, the next guy up in terms of targets. Because, like, if you look at snaps, it was DeAndre Hopkins, 61, Larry Fitzgerald, 56, only 3 targets. The wheels might just be coming off the tires at this point for him. But then Johnson had 46 snaps, and then Isabella had 26. I think he was one of those situations where he made the most of his opportunity. Now, it could switch because he was just so good on them, but just a situation to monitor. But more than anything, like we said, it's just DeAndre is just so good that he just gonna...
Yeah, he's a gravitational force.
Yeah, he's just gonna... Right, exactly. He's just gonna gobble up so many targets. And by the way, just as a note about this game, too, we talked at length about DJ Moore and Robbie Anderson, too. There's a lot to like fantasy-wise in this game. I don't want to go back all the way through it because we just talked for a pretty long time. Yeah, Mike Davis and Robbie Anderson, DJ Moore, and Kyler Murray, all dudes.
Let's talk about DJ Moore because we actually didn't bring him up on the Cash Game podcast. I noticed that you... referenced him in the article. You're not at all concerned about getting just 4 targets last week?
No, not really. I'm only a little concerned that Mike Davis, like Teddy Bridgewater is really willing to throw to Mike Davis. Like, that is a little bit of a concern. So if the running back's going to eat into the target share, then you probably do have to tick down. He's going to eat into the target share in the same way that Christian McCaffrey did. I don't think you can be overly crazy about the targets on the wide receivers. That's my only real concern. That one week of, like, weird targets doesn't really throw me off too much when, like, the median and the mean are still nice for the nice is a weird word. Are still okay for the season. I don't want to go crazy on something like that. And if you're gonna have an offense that just is just built up and throwing to the running back, that's probably always gonna be a little bit problematic. Because, like, for median targets for more for the 3 weeks is still 9, right? Like 8.5, 8, and close to 9 for.
It is, but more of my question is, obviously for big tournaments, do whatever you feel. For cash games, though, like, if you're comparing more to the other guys in the same price range that we've already discussed, someone like Keenan Allen,
Allen, or, probably Edelman's okay. Weird. I wouldn't do it in cash either way, probably, because I just
Allen Robinson.
Definitely Robinson.
Okay, so we're not going to play DJ Moore. I think you run out of $7,000.
Yeah, no, system. I think all those guys. I'm more interested in all the guys you just mentioned. All right, Saints go in and play the Lions. Lions pulled off the win over upset win over the Cardinals last week. Saints go into Detroit. This game started at 55, down to 54, one of the highest lines in the slate. It looks like Michael Thomas. We talked about Kamara yesterday, but actually looks like, and I was probably remiss by saying, it looks like Michael Thomas is going to return this week. Is that problem? How problematic is that for the Kamara as a cash game play? If Michael Thomas were to take the field, would we? I feel like we'd have to pretty dramatically reduce the targets that Kamara has seen over the last couple weeks, right? Because it does feel like a almost 1-to-1 correlation between uptick in targets and no Michael Thomas, right? Like, Thomas did practice. Do we need to move Kamara out of our cash game consideration now?
Geez. On DraftKings, you can probably still think about it. Because, listen, you don't need 14 targets to be a good cash game play on DraftKings. He got 8 in week 1. That's when Thomas got hurt. So I don't know what the right number of targets would be for him if Thomas were to play. It does seem obvious to me that he's getting a lot of those. It's funny because he's not running the same routes Thomas would run and, like, catching balls in that way. But when the plan is we need 11 yards or we need 9 yards or things like that, he's getting a lot of those opportunities, even if the play is drawn up differently. And if that comes down from 9 to 14 to, like, where the range becomes 6 to 10, it obviously takes a lot of the luster off, especially on FanDuel, where, again, Kamara's been very touchdown dependent. He's going to be, I think, the second most expensive running back on the slate behind Zeke. I don't know. It would start to feel a little too rich for my blood, because his price has come up for two reasons that should theoretically regress. You know, fewer targets if Thomas returns, and fewer touchdowns just because nobody scores two touchdowns a game.
So. Yeah, I mean, frankly, I've been looking for reasons to not play him in cash. I don't want to do it. I hate the snap count, and I get how good he is. I hate it for where his price is, right? Yeah, based on that. And like, this is, and you hit the nail on the head. If you're priced this way because there was a distinct difference in how the team was on the field for a couple weeks, plus this thing that is unlikely to continue, which is the crazy touchdown share, this is the exact place you don't want to play. It's actually the difference between him and Derrick Henry. It's like, where, okay, can we play Derrick Henry at these prices? Yeah, because this stuff is like sort of repeatable, even if it's crazy in terms of how expensive he is and how much they're using him. The Kamara thing is not. Like, you need a lot to go right at this price for him, yeah, based on how much he's on the field. Like that, and that's really mostly what I'm saying. So, if Thomas comes back, I think we have to take the target share down, and I think doing that in even a moderate way is probably going to take him out of cash games for us, because you just can't give him 17 carries, and that's where the difference becomes, right? Like, because that's just never going to happen. He's just not going to carry the ball 20 times or whatever it is. And there's not a long list, but there is a group. Like, for instance, like right now, knowing Thomas is coming back, would you rather play him or Zeke in cash?
that's a pretty tough one. I guess Zeke, just because I feel like carries are more secure than targets, but yeah, that's pretty close. I don't know.
I think that's a question that's like a weird fundamental question we're going to be asking ourselves this week. Is that, you know, where do we feel comfortable? There's a couple other guys on this list, but the list is not all that long. I don't think you can play Thomas coming back from the injury and just expect him to just jump back into double digit target share. Although, you know, I'm typically less worried about injuries than you are. On the Lions side, they pulled off the win last week. It's not like any one player was particularly responsible for it, right? Like Kenny Galladay, 7 targets, T.J. Hockenson, 7 targets. Adrian Peterson ran the ball 22 times. This guy just, you can't put, yeah, he only got 75 yards out of it. I just don't know. I'm not seeing it for this team really from a fantasy perspective, because I don't really know exactly who to pinpoint. And I don't know, they're projected for a decent amount of implied points, almost 25, which is easily one of the highest. It's easily one of the highest of a team that's an underdog, for sure. Anything to like here on Detroit?
I was pretty encouraged by Galladay's return, actually. I think for cash, you know, he's not going to clear that very high bar of that Allen Robinson, Keenan Allen sort of area that we've already discussed. But certainly for big tournaments, I think he's very interesting. It wouldn't be surprising at all for that target share to go from 7 and go up, keeping in mind that he's going to have a really tough cornerback matchup this week, which is just another mark against him for cash games. Not that probably most people were considering him anyway, but yeah, by and large, I think Adrian Peterson's the most interesting guy on the team for big tournaments, just because he's so cheap. I mean, he's 5,500, a guy who got 22 carries last week and is going into a game where his team has a 25 total. Like, that's awfully interesting. And he wouldn't, like, if he gets a touchdown, he's going to pay this price with his eyes closed, right? So, so certainly not, you don't want to ignore it, but I just don't, yeah, for cash games, I would certainly feel a little gun-shy just in case this game gets out of hand and, you know, they have to go away from the short yardage run.
Yeah, my days of trying to speculate on a Detroit running back, even though the Peterson's here, are just done. I'm done. I'm not doing it anymore. It's been years and years of this, like, one guy comes and then he disappears and then he gets hurt or whatever. Like, it's the Detroit running back situation. I feel like for half the time we run DFSR has been a disaster. Like, I don't know.
The whole time. There's never been a consistent running back play. We've tried a lot of them too.
I was hedging by saying half and probably just feeling like I meant it was the whole time. All right. Bengals host the Jags this week. The Bengals are -3 home favorites. Great game. This game opened at a 44.5 total and is now up to 49. You'd never see this kind of increase on a total. Like, to be so wrong on the opening line, not wrong, I mean, it could be end up being correct, but to have it corrected so much is nuts. Sometimes you see it going the other way, if like Andrew Luck got hurt or something like that, and like they were just, you know, the quarterback situation just dropped off a cliff, you'd see it. But not when the stuff is just kind of known, and everyone's just like, well, you know what? We need way more points for this game. But it does make sense because these two teams have just been kind of gunslinging to start the season. Burrow's, we talked about Burrow a little bit on the Cash Game podcast yesterday. Not really as a cash game play, but just kind of wanted to write up someone different than the top tier dudes. And then the Jags, they lost to Miami last week, but Minshew's definitely, you know, kind of aired it out a little bit, and they have something of a running game. I feel like we could probably talk ourselves into some stuff here about between two bad teams that have shown at least life on offense.
Yeah, I think James Robinson is going to get a decent amount of buzz. We mentioned him briefly on the Cash Game podcast. I do think he's probably on the outside looking in, but it wouldn't take much for him to hop up into some of our optimal lineups. If you think this game is competitive, if you think that, you know, Jacksonville won't have to get away from the run, and heck, he's even somewhat involved in the passing game too, I think he can be somewhat on your radar. Actually wrote up the Bengals defense too. One of the really interesting things about this week from the defensive position is that basically all, so there are a number of teams with fairly low totals, but all the defenses going against them cost like 4,600 plus on FanDuel. And then you have the Bengals, which costs next to nothing, going up against Gardner Minshew and company. Minshew, he was really protecting the ball well for a while, but last couple of weeks, it's been a different story. He's up to, I think, 10 sacks taken on the season. It's like 9 or 10 sacks. Can't recall off the top of my head, but taking a lot of sacks, turning the ball over through the air and on the ground. So I think the Bengals defense could see pretty significant cash game ownership here.
What do we think about Joe Mixon here? Mixon's a guy that we wanted to kind of believe in as like game script independent last year to some degree, and maybe even going into this year. He plays every snap basically. The production has not been great to start the year. Our projection on him feels a little low to me based on the opportunity, but I'm wondering if this would be a situation where we look at when lineups lock and Joe Mixon is like kind of a chalkier play and we're kind of off it. Like, you know what I mean? Because they're favorites at home. The opportunity in the past has really been there. And I'm just wondering if that's a situation that we maybe need to kind of like wake up to, because the more I think about it, I'm like, oh, Mixon actually is one of those few guys that checks that running back box for me and is a home favorite, which is definitely where we want to be.
So in my mind, I'm going to go look at our system. In my mind, I believe Mixon should have 18 carries and 3 targets. And I'm going to see what we have him for.
Are you joking?
No, I'm just looking at his game log.
That's exactly what we have him for.
Yeah, so that's correct. You know, you and I approach this in the same way, so yeah. I'm not shocked to hear that that's what you have him for. It's actually one of the more straightforward ones that I've ever seen. Like, that's why I even did this exercise, because I looked and I was like, oh yeah, if we have him for 18 and 3, then you can't move off it. I mean, assuming that all of our underlying numbers are correct, which, you know, we have a pretty decent track record of what Mixon can do when handed the ball. So I think if you, you know, kind of mash that all together, put it together with the Jags D, and he doesn't show up, then we don't play him. I don't think you need to stretch on Mixon whatsoever. Let's be clear, too. He's been quite bad on the opportunities that he actually has had this year. He hasn't topped 50 rushing yards in either of the last two games against Cleveland and Philly, so it's not like, you know, world beaters there necessarily. They were plenty in the Philly game. Went to overtime. He even had the extra quarter to play there and still couldn't top 50 rushing yards. So I don't feel like you need to. I don't think I would be sick to my stomach if I saw Mixon on 40% ownership and we didn't have him. So
yeah, I'm not saying that we're going to be there, but it just, like, again, like when we usually want to check boxes in terms of, you know, running backs to play, that one is kind of one that kind of gets there. But well, I don't know. Tyler Boyd had 13 targets last week. You like to see it did go 10 for 125. If he's just going to be Burrow's sort of guy going forward, then I think we can probably talk ourselves into something there. But that hasn't been a season long thing, so I don't think I don't want to go crazy on one. I definitely don't want to go crazy on 1 week, and it's definitely a situation to monitor going forward. And if he had another double digit target game in a game again, that could be sort of a weird bad team.
It's funny, I'd be more concerned about not having Tyler Boyd. Like, if Boyd was 40% owned, I don't think I would be very excited if we didn't have him. Like, he's very cheap. He's 6,000. The targets are going up. And unlike, say, with AJ Green, the targets have been hyper-efficient, too. And we know Burrow, in college, his whole approach was, I'm just going to complete all my passes, right? And if that's the kind of connection he has with Boyd so far, I could see him continuing to ramp that up.
Yeah, totally agreed. All right, next game on the slate is Vikings go in and play the Texans. This game is, we briefly talked about Deshaun Watson yesterday. This game is a monster total. This one went from 51.5 to 54.5 pretty darn quickly. A lot of the points came up evenly, and now they came up a little bit more on the Texans side than on the Vikings side. Ah, man, this is so many points. I'm wondering if we just, how much more should we be paying attention to this game than butting up against 30 implied points? Because that is really, really high. The Vikings have shown the ability to give it up. Feels like maybe this is a game that we didn't focus on a ton in the Cash Game podcast, and I'm wondering if that was a mistake.
Yeah, well, I'm really thinking about what we do with Will Fuller. I mean, we loved him going into the season. He had 10 targets in the opening week. We even thought about playing him. Maybe we even did play him in some lineups against the Ravens in week two. He had 0 targets.
Yeah.
Bounces back last week to some degree, but most of that was on the back of a touchdown. He still was only targeted 5 times. I mean, he's nominally the wide receiver 1, even though Randall Cobb has kind of assumed that mantle in weird ways, at least in terms of like the total yardage the flashier plays. Brandon Cooks is still there. What do we do with the passing game, I guess, is my big question, because for a team with a 30 total, this is a lot of guys who are getting 5 targets a game, right?
Yeah, we don't feel good about it. I just don't. I want to play Will Fuller a ton, and just the targets aren't there. Like, and that's hoping that he stays healthy for a whole game. So,
yeah.
I feel like this game has a lot of potential. All of it has big tournament upside to me. Like, all those wide receivers have big tournament upside. Even a guy like David Johnson, I think, has big tournament upside here. If he starts kind of getting downhill, now he's totally stunk on the ground, and that trade looks worse by the day. But I don't know. I can't go there for cash on anyone but Watson, and I really probably can't even do it on Watson just based on the track record on the guys above him on the pricing tier. But for sure, like a game stack kind of situation here, this is definitely a place to look. Like Watson with like Justin Jefferson going but running it back, or you know, Dalvin Cook running it back. All these guys have monster upside, and I'm just concerned that you like to say this, catching a falling knife. Like, this is where this game is like the definition of that, because there's tons of dudes that can put up big games, and it's been all over the place through the first 3 weeks.
Yeah. I think that you're expressing my feelings about the Texans pretty accurately. I think it makes Watson a really interesting naked quarterback play for big tournaments too. Like, you know, he can punch in a few rushing touchdowns. It's been rough for the Texans so far, so you'd like to think that if there were a game that they were going to bounce back. I mean, this is a team many, you know, was putting up there as potentially one of the best teams in the AFC, if not the whole league, right? So, going into Thursday Night Football, people were like, oh, it's two of the exciting quarterbacks in the league, right? It's just been, the season has exceeded the worst possible expectations for the Texans. So, yeah, I think it's a nice bounce back game. I just don't know. There's no obvious, like, you know, Rodgers and Adams type stack from this game, I don't think so.
Yeah, that's it. And that's it. I think if we have one of these teams that we just felt better about knowing where the opportunity was, like, you know, sort of akin to where the Seahawks were last week, the monster total, and we know it's kind of Wilson and Lockett and guys like that. Like, I think you can feel pretty good about situations like that. The fact that this just is sitting on a weird high total island without knowing exactly what each team's plans are expressly, I do think, again, huge big tournament upside, lots of guys to consider here. Like, I, you know, you definitely can run GBPs with Cook, definitely can run with Justin Anderson, definitely can run with Adam Thielen. Like, and then going back the other way with all these wide receivers and with Watson, I think they're all in play, and I just don't want to, it does feel a little dartboardy to me to just kind of recommend one of them for cash games, and I wouldn't be shocked. The aforementioned Seahawks go and play the Dolphins. We talked at length about Russell Wilson yesterday. We talked about Tyler Lockett. I don't think we need to rehash too much of that. Both are very strong cash game plays. Chris Carson, I think we're still waiting for word on whether Chris Carson is going to play or not.
Yep, he was a limited participant in practice on Wednesday. He's apparently, it's a first degree knee sprain, and oftentimes that's accompanied by like a 1 or 2 week timetable. We'll see, I guess we have to say on Carson, but I wouldn't be shocked either way. If he does return, potentially could be in the limited capacity too. So certainly you're not going to touch him for cash games. Whether that opens up other opportunity in the offense, you know, is sort of an open question. But
Well, if he sat, let me ask you this question, because this one's instructive. Sure. If he sat, are we playing Carlos Hyde in cash everywhere?
Well, Carlos Hyde's also been limited in practice this week too. So I think if Carson sits and Hyde is the starter, I think you can do it. He's 5,700. He's not likely to be featured in the passing game necessarily, but if you should be able to get 16 to 18 carries, and that should be enough for such an effective offense, given what the game script looks like so far. So the answer is a maybe. We got to wait and see.
All right, that's definitely a piece of news that we're going to be waiting on going into this week, because if Carson's not there or if Hyde's not there, like, that is going to be a running back situation that we're probably going to want to jam in cash. We just need 48 more hours to be a little bit clearer on the injury situation. Seahawks defense definitely in play here. We did see Myles Gaskin get a lot of the carries for the Dolphins. I don't think that's definitely not where you want to be at 6.5 point. Although this line does feel a little low, 6.5. But I guess traveling across the country and whatnot. Anything else to like about this game?
No, I don't think so. You know, the Dolphins, just a disappointment every year for DFS purposes. You know, like Mike Gesicki, he was getting some buzz going into the Thursday game. But, you know, what are you going to do? You're not going to play him in cash or anything. So, yeah, nothing to see here, unfortunately.
Giants go in and play the Rams. Rams, huge favorites here, minus 13 at home. Giants season basically done. No Saquon Barkley, obviously. The running back situation's a mess. The team offense is just a total mess. They do not project for fewer than 18 points projected for right now. The Rams, on the other hand, coming off kind of brutal loss to the Bills last week, still looked pretty good. They're going to get Cam Akers back here, so I'm not sure we can trust the running back situation. And this one, they have over 30 implied points. The Giants defense is terrible. They gave it up to the freaking 49ers last week with backups everywhere, and still the 49ers.
The backups.
Yeah, the backups were putting up huge points against the Giants last week. I just don't know with the Rams, though. Like, the three running backs now, right? Like, you can't do – it feels weird to go that in that direction. The wide receiver, they want to run the ball a ton, so it's not even like you can go crazy on the Woods and Cup projections. Mm-hmm. I don't know. This feels like another huge total game that I'm having trouble pinpointing exactly where the production is going to be, just because that's that the team just wants to spread it around a lot.
Yeah, I think if Cam Akers were to sit, I think you could really consider Darrell Henderson Jr., just given that he seems to be winning the job against Malcolm Brown. He's been far more effective on a per-touch basis, so that's the first part of it. And then last year, he really out-touched him dramatically, too. 20 carries to Brown's 7. So that looks like a clear, you know, running back 1 and then the running back 2 situation as of right now. And frankly, I don't even know how much Cam Akers with his sore ribs is even going to change that, given that things are just working for Henderson. The game script tells us that we would love to play a running back from the Rams side. Or the projected game script tells us we'd love to play a running back from the Rams set here too. So, you know, as we lose some of our running back 1 options, like if we don't want to play Kamara because of Michael Thomas, we don't want to play Derrick Henry because he's no longer on the slate and so on, maybe Henderson is a potential cash game option.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm definitely going to need to see the injury stuff on that one before we go crazy on it. And that's just that maybe it's just a wait and see. But if all three are healthy, I just don't. I'm not liking it. The Rams defense is something you can consider here. Again, the Giants offense is absolutely atrocious. Like, they have nobody. And so they lost Sterling Shepard for the year, lost Saquon for the year. The offensive line's in shambles as it is. So definitely the Rams are expensive, as they should be for a defense. And this is still a situation that you can probably, I rarely want to spend up for defenses, but you know, from a tournament perspective, there's a lot of upside in this team because it's just really hard to overstate how really, really bad the Giants offense is at this point. I don't even want to touch anything on there, not even from a GBP standpoint. Bills going to play the Raiders. This game is another one with a huge total that ticked up, 49.5 up to 52.5. Came up equally on both sides. Bills are 3-point road favorites against Las Vegas. Came back with that comeback victory last week. They're going to get Zach Moss back in the running games. We had considered Devin Singletary as a possible cash game play last week, but that was really with Moss out. He's going to play, so I don't think we want to go there. Josh Allen, look, every week you can play this guy in cash. Like, the floor is incredibly high based on how they, you know, how much running he does, and just that he's been able to really dial into some better wide receiver play with Diggs. Is this a spot we want to be in? And then we can talk about the Raiders. The Raiders are really beat up in the passing game. They're not going to have Ruggs. They're not going to have Edwards. Renfro got a lot of targets last week. Give me your thoughts on this game.
Sure. So, yeah, on the Bills side, obviously Moss's return kind of takes you out of the running game. Alan, like you said, a week in, week out option, both to stack with potentially Diggs or even John Brown when he's healthy, or just to run alone. I think we saw last week that the Bills aren't going to be slaves to giving any single guy a bunch of targets. Diggs drops from 13 targets to 6, and I think that, for me, precludes him from cash game consideration. Brown, obviously, he had just the 2 targets, left the week early just with a strained calf, so I don't know that, you know, we'll keep an eye on his status too. He is a guy that's going to get a decent amount of target share and a ton of snaps if he is in there, so you know, it's more like you can't play him if he's active, but if he's out, the addition by subtraction that you get to some of the other guys, like Diggs or even Cole Beasley, who had 7 targets again last week, I think's become somewhat interesting. But listen, the Bills, they're so Allen dependent that anyone else out there, like, this is actually an interesting thing I think we've noticed over the years too, which is that running quarterbacks often hurt the rest of their teammates in terms of DFS options. Because, like, usually when you have a great quarterback, let's say, like, currently Russell Wilson, right? If he's passing the ball to someone else, well, that's 10 points of fantasy production. If he rushes the ball in himself, it's only 6. And I think that's the risk you have when you guys got, like, Kyler Murray or Josh Allen or even Lamar Jackson last year. And that's kind of how I feel about the Bills. They could score a ton of points, and Allen could be the only guy that winds up actually paying his price from a fantasy perspective.
Yeah, that makes sense. And that's why he's, you know, we call it the naked quarterback option. That's why he really just fits the bill on that one, because, yeah, or fits the Bills on that one. Like that, like what I did there?
I get it, because of the Buffalo Bills.
You got it.
But on the other side, though, the Raiders, you know, things have been sort of a mess there. But I'll tell you, if you take out Kamara from our optimal lineups right now, Josh Jacobs, he's sniffing awfully close, Doug, and the usage in the first 2 weeks was truly absurd. I mean, 25 carries against Carolina, 27 against New Orleans. Not especially effective on his carries so far this season. He averaged fewer than 4 yards per carry in each of those first 2 games. They're hitting into just another tough matchup here, going up against the Bills. But as a home, you know, 3-point dog, what do you think? Can we roll the dice on Jacobs here?
Man, one encouraging part is the targets have been decent, like 5 average targets a game to start the season. And they had said they were going to work him more into the passing game this year, and they have. It's one of those few times where coach speak ends up being the truth. Like, that almost never, ever, ever happens. But in this case, it actually did. So the part where he is part of the passing game is encouraging. Jalen Richards kind of played more than I wanted him to last week. So that one's kind of a bummer on a game where they were playing catch up. So that part does worry me a little bit from the, you can get, like, Jacobs still can get scripted out of a game. And from cash, I just need to prioritize guys that can't happen to, right? And, like,
yes.
And that at this point, the list is short, but there are enough of them. Like, again, this is where paying a price for Zeke might be just the way to go. Because if it's, like, paying a premium on Zeke at 9K, and on FanDuel, that's $1,000 more than Jacobs, there's so much more safety in that extra $1,000 than you're just not getting from Josh Jacobs. Does that make sense? Like, it's a lot. $1,000's a lot. It means you're really paying for it somewhere else. But maybe you just, like, go cheaper at tight end. You maybe take a little riskier wide receiver. But
The wide receiver thing, I think, is very interesting when you put it that way, because, you know, we've kicked out a few guys so far that have felt, like, so the difference between Zeke and Jacobs would give me a much greater amount of pause than going from, I mean, who's the $6,000 receiver we just discussed like 2 seconds ago?
DJ Moore, Robbie Anderson. I don't know. These guys are.
Yeah, well, Robbie Anderson perhaps could be the instructive example. There was someone else, but it's gone away, Doug, my old man brain. But yeah, dropping from one guy who's 7,000 to 6,000 a wide receiver feels a little bit less speculative to me than going from Zeke to Jacobs. Like, if Jacobs is going to get 14 carries or whatever, like he did against the Pats, and potentially only get 4 yards a carry, I think I'd be happy to sign up for a little Zeke here.
This is where I'm really hoping that Chris Carson is out and Carlos Hyde is playing, because
yeah, that wouldn't be so bad.
Like, that would be, then I just could feel like I'd have the decision made for me and could move on. Alas, that's just not how the fantasy gods go. Like I said, I think you can consider Renfrow here. I'm encouraged that they just have very few options in their passing game. And, like, we just saw Darren Waller get a ton of targets and then just disappear off the face of the earth. So it's not like you can really trust the almost at Oakland, the Las Vegas passing game at all. But Renfro is coming pretty cheap, and he had a nice game last week. Again, like, this
is... Well, it's actually a credit to the Raiders. It's a credit to the Raiders when they can pivot. It just hurts us for fantasy purposes. By the way, I tracked down those cheap wide receivers. So, like, if you had to go down from Allen Robinson to Tyler Boyd, let's say, like, that doesn't seem terrible to me whatsoever. If you had to go from Allen Robinson to Will Fuller, right? Like, neither of those... Like, there's worlds where Boyd and Fuller are just better than the guys in the $7,000 range, right? And I don't feel that way about Jacobs versus Zeke. Like, he can, of course, do it, but the risk seems to be much higher taking a running back as an underdog rather than one who we know is just good for 20-plus touches no matter what.
So. All right, let's finish this off. Patriots go in and play the Chiefs. Marquee game here. Cam goes in and plays Patrick Mahomes. Cam really struggled to start the game last week, but then was able to sort of pick it up in the second half where they were able to pull away. They are 7-point underdogs to the home Chiefs, who look kind of just world beating again to start the year. I mean, I know they struggled a little bit with the Chargers, but then just really laid laid the smackdown, but it sounded so corny. Then I was going to change the stamp, but then you don't really lay stamps down. And then I just got caught in the phrasing of what I wanted to do there. They are 7-point home favorites. We talked about CEH as a cash game play. I'm fully on board with that again. I'm not worried about this Patriots defense, really at all. Can we see like a game stack here in terms of like if the Patriots are able to sort of keep pace with the Chiefs, or does this line just show you that maybe Vegas isn't trusting what Bill Belichick and Cam are throwing out here to start the season as much as like we kind of even dreamed on the production through the first couple weeks?
Yeah, well, I think it's funny with the Patriots because I believe strongly that they're going to be much better offensively this season with Cam under center. But I think they're also going to be significantly worse defensively, or at least it's going to appear that way when it's all said and done. You know, the underbelly of the Patriots' great start to the season last year defensively was that they just played nobody and they were just crushing just total clowns week after week after week. And they were catching teams at the right time and on and on and on. And then you get to the playoffs and all of a sudden it's like, we can't figure out Ryan Tannehill. It's like, okay, maybe this isn't, you know, a rich man's version of the 85 Bears, which is how they were being discussed. Could they go the whole season without allowing a touchdown? You know, stuff like that. So, yeah, I think Mahomes and company are going to have a fine time here. I think the Pats will be playing from behind. It's funny to watch Pats fans be like, okay, we get no respect. 7-point dogs. It's like, you can relax, you know. Like, you're just up against, like, potentially the dynasty of the next 5 years. So, you know, it's okay to be 7-point dogs in this game. I think the Chiefs roll. I think Cam is probably effective. I don't think you want to go back to the well and like Rex Burkhead, let's say. I don't know that you can pair Cam with anyone, but for big tournaments, maybe you pair him with Edelman or you run him alone too. But yeah, I'm not going to play them. And on the Chiefs side, I do like Clyde Edwards-Helaire, but I'm not going to be trying to speculate on the passing game. It's just way too many weapons, man. I mean, with Watkins, Hill, and Kelsey, and DeMarcus Robinson, like they just got dudes out there. So I don't know that you're going to be the one guessing right for your cash game purposes.
I think people will still probably want to dream a little bit on Rex Burkhead's 10 targets, and he only had 6 carries. This death taxes and figuring out the Patriots running game is just like something you can never. It's just these are the constants in the world. Like they just look for every time that the guy comes out and looks like he's going to have the guy with all the production. It just disappears immediately. So Burkhead's targets were nice, and no James White still being around. That matters. It's instructive, I think.
White returned to practice this week.
Oh, too. He did. Yeah, and that was like a really
because it was a personal issue. It wasn't.
Parents they had a car crash, and his father passed away. Not an injury thing. So then if he's back, then I think we can just forget about the Rex Burkhead thing. All right, we're gonna get out of here. DailyFantasySportsRankings.com is the site. DFSR.com for short. Head on over to dfsr.com/deals to get yourself started on our premium projections. That's for FanDuel and DraftKings optimal lineups. You can get cover for every sport too, so it's still getting you through MLB playoffs, NBA while the finals chug along. It's all covered in the one subscription package. So dfsr.com/deals. You can take a free trial risk-free. Go check it out. One of the best deals that you're going to get in the business. Buddy, enjoy your week 4 in football.
Will do.